Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Avodah Zarah Daf Nun. We begin a brand new Perek Rabbi Shmuel. So it's the Mishnah on Mem Tesem and Beis, eight lines off the bottom of the Yomid. Rabbi Shmuel Eimer, Sholosh Avonim, Zu B'Tzad Zu. If one notices three stones lying side by side, Zu B'Tzad Zu, so they're lined up, B'Tzad Markulis, next to a Markulis, which is a stone arrangement, which served as an idol. It was a certain number, the Zohar called Markulis, which was set up as follows. One stone on the right, one on the left, and the third was perched atop both of them. So it was one and one on top. Part on this and part on that. I still recall when we were hiking through the back trails of the Golan Heights in Eretz Yisrael many years ago, and we actually noticed Markulises. Unbelievable. There was these stone arrangements, these boulders, one on the right, one on the left, one on top. And I recall from the, you know, the Mishnayos from learning that this is a Markulis of a Dezara. So the question was regarding approaching it, and, you know, it's Aser Bahano. Even the stones around it, as we're going to see in the Gemara, Aser Bahano. So, well, then there's a question of Bittul, right? Did the owners abandon the Avodah Zarah? Well, it depends if they were chased away or they, you know, sort of willingly left, as we're going to see later. So, you know, Bittul is an issue on its own. So, in any case, the format, right, this type of formation indicates a Markulis. Interestingly, we typically do not mention, Tesis asks, how can we even mention the name of an Avodah Zarah? Not meant to express its name. So he says, really, it's a contrived name. He says, this is Daf Nun Amud Aleph of Tesis, Divrei Maskil, Avnei Beis Kulis. Rabbi Tam asks, Heich Maskirin Shema, how do we even say the name? We're not supposed to. Unless it's an Avodah Zarah mentioned in the Torah, then that allows for us to say it. But otherwise, you're not supposed to. V'shem Elohim Acherim Leis Hazkiru, not meant to. She says, it wasn't its real name. It was called Kilos. The idol was called Kilos. Kilos is Lashon of Shvach, of praise, of honor. Chachamim switched it from Kilos, which is a positive reference, to Kulis. Kulis, he says, is Lashon Lag Vakelis, a mockery. And the Mar means it was switched. It was switched from a positive to a negative, from Kilos, which is a positive reference, to Kulis, which is a Lashon of, you know, an insulting Lashon, a mockery Lashon. That's how it got its name. That's why in the Mishnah we call it Mar Kulis. Okay, so in any case, the primary Mar Kulis arrangement, the stone formation would involve one on one and one on top. And here he found three stones lined up, right, side by side, next to the main Markulis. Says Rabbi Shmuel, just as the primary Markulis of a desire, by the way, they would worship it by stoning it. They would throw stones at the Markulis. And by doing so, they would actually be expanding and making it grow. Because the whole pile now is becoming the Markulis of Avodah Zarah. So now he finds three large stones situated nearby, lined up side by. It's also Asurais. Why? Because, as the Gemara will tell us, it was a common practice to set up, you know, a mini Markulis near a big one, you know, keep it company. So going to Rabbi Shmuel, not only is the primary Markulis Asur, likewise the secondary one. But if it's just two stones, two big stones side by side, Ushtaim Mutares, then we assume it's not a Markulis. No. The only time a stone is Aser, if it's Shenirois Imoy. If it appears to be part of the primary Markulis, you know, it slid off the Markulis, it fell off, so then it is Avodah Zarah. Then it's Aseris. V'she'en Nirois Imoy, but if it's not right next to the main Markulis, which would indicate that it slid off, then butoris, then they're okay because we do not assume that a second one was erected near the first one. Asks the Gemara, Bishleim Rabbanon Kasavri, I fully understand the Rabbanon's opinion. They hold, Oivdin Lishvarim, a guy would still serve with worship a broken piece off the main of Avodah Zarah. So, Nirois Ima, if the stones look like they fell off the primary stone arrangement, Dikala Meimar Minei Nafal, so if they're next to it, which would indicate that it fell off the Markulis, Asurois, then those stones are Asur. Because, as we said, they had become part of the Markulis when they were thrown at the Markulis. But She'ein Niris Ima, if they're not right next to the primary Markulis, Mutaris, they're okay because chances are it did not come off the main configuration. And yeah. El Rabbi Shmuel, Micah Sava. According to Rabbi Shmuel, how do we understand his numbers? If a guy still considers a broken piece of his main Avodah Zarah as Avodah Zarah and they serve it, I feel tired in Amelitza. So even if it's two stones, it's Asur. If they ignore pieces, they just negate the pieces, they don't consider it Avodah Zarah, I feel it's last Namelitza. Even if it's three, it should not be Asur. How do we differentiate between two and three? Amar Ravitza Bar Yosef, Amar, he quotes Rabbi Yechanan. Let me explain to you what's going on. We're dealing with two different circumstances. In the first case, biyadua shenashru mimenu. If we know with certainty that this stone slid off, broke away from the main configuration, divrei hakol asuris, all would agree those stones are asur because they are part and parcel of the avodah zarah arrangement. Even according to that opinion that told us a while ago that, well, when something breaks off, he negates it. Yeah, that's by a typical idol, statue. Something falls off. It's not really meant to be. It's broken. So it's just, waste material. He no longer considers it Avodah Zarah. He's like Mavatalit. That's by a typical idol. The Lav Hainu Urche, where it's not expected to have things just, break off. It's not routine. Aval Hacha, but here by the Markulis, it's comprised of pieces, of parts, of stones. The Mikara Tvuri Mitvri, right? Initially, it was pieces. It wasn't one unit. And as Rashi adds the words, V'darkan Lipol, you expect things to roll off. Hainu Urchis, that's norm. In which case, the stone is still considered Avodah Zarah. It doesn't lose that Avodah Zarah status. So again, if it is known to have come from that main configuration, fallen off the Markulis, it's us, according to all shittas. Ki pligi b'stam, machlekes, is when you're not sure. You see one near the thing, you don't know where it came from. Bimukur Rabbeis Nami. Now, again, if it's right next to the Markulis, Rashi says within an Amo, Bimukur Rabbeis Nami, dika lemeimar, minei nafal, where chances are it did roll off the Markulis, divra kalasuris, again, all of it agreed to us. Ki pligi b'ruchakes. The question is if it's past, an Amo, if it's 2, 3, 4 feet away, that will be the Shaila. Asks the Gemara, first of all, V'ha b'tzad Markulis Ketani. The Mishnah is clearly speaking about stones right next to b'tzad. And you're telling me that if it's b'tzad, all agree there's no machlekes? The Mishnah says there is machlekes. That's first of all. So how do we explain? Says the Gemara, my b'tzad, b'tzad arba amis. Did they? Right, so the kasha is that you're telling me if it's right near, then certainly it's asr. Rabbi Shmuel's chiddush that an arrangement of three stones lying side by side is still asr. That if it's not next to it, but it clearly, Rabbi Shmuel clearly used the word b'tzad, which indicates that only then is Rabbi Shmuel going to forbid those stones. You're telling me that even if it's further away, says the Gemara. My betzad, the word betzad, used by Rabbi Shmuel, doesn't mean right next to it, within 2 feet, within an amo. Betzad arba amos today. It means within 4 amos. So, again, if it's right next to the Avodah Zarah, within an amo, all agree it's asr, because chances are it's lit off the Avodah Zarah, it's part of the original material. What if it's past an amma, but within four ammas? Four ammas is like, you know, an area. Right? The same area. But it's not right next to it. It's close vicinity, close proximity to Avodah Zarah, but it's not right next to it, in which case you would say it fell off. It didn't fall right off. But it's been arranged close enough to the primary Avodah Zarah. That will be the subject of discussion. That's the point of Machlekes. But Tzad Arba Amistite, Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Rabbi Shmuel holds, although you can't assume it rolled off the Markulis, it's still going to be us. Why? Oysen Markulis Katam, Mitzab Markulis Gadol. They typically do. Make a small Markulis, a mini Markulis, near the large one. Which means to say that it was meant for Avodah Zarah as well. Now, that's only by Sholesh. If it's three, the dominant Markulis, where in terms of numbers, it matches the numbers of the Markulis itself, which is made of three stones. So although over here it's not, you know, arranged properly, it's just lying side by side, doesn't have the Markulis, you know, configuration, still there are surais, because that's the way they do it, you know. They're lazy, just you know, it's not the main attraction, not the main feature. So even if it's lying side by side, it's still asuris. Shtai mutaris, but if it's just two stones, it doesn't have the number requirement, it doesn't have the three. So then we assume it's not a markulis katan, it's mutar. Rabbanan sav, Rabbanan hold, no. Once they have the main markulis, they do not set up mini ones nearby. Einoisin markulis katan, betad markulis gadol. They do not set up small ones near the big ones. And therefore, it doesn't matter if it's three or two, leishna sholesh, leishna shtayim, whether it's three or two. If it's further than right nearby, if it's, you know, an amma, two, three, four way, then it's mutar. Only if it's nirois imoy, then it's asuris. If it's right next to it, right, within an amma, then we assume it rolled off, and it's asur. She'ei nirois imoy mutaris, but if it's further away, it's mutar. Amarna, let's go back and review what we just said. So, biyadua shenashru mimenu d'merkala asuris. If you know with certainty that it rolled off the Avodah Zarah, it's certainly us, according to all opinions. V'ramini, we have a kasha from Ebraisa, where it says, avonim shenashru mimarkulis. Stones that rolled off the Markulis, nirois imoy asuris. If they appear to be part and parcel of the original one, it's right next to it, then it's us. She'ei nirois imoy mutaris, but if it's further away, it's mutar. Hold it. If it rolled off, it says shenashru, it rolled off. Then who cares where it is right now? It's shivrei avodah zarah. According to all shittas, you said it's us. That's going to be the kasha. But let's just finish the braisa. Rishma leimer. Shalosh asuris, shtai mutaris. If there are three side by side, it's asur. If it's two, it's mutar. So again, here we're saying, Rabbi Yechon tells us that if we know the stone rolled off the Markulis, there's no question. It's asur, irrespective of location. And in this braisa, it doesn't seem to be so simple. We're speaking about shenashru, it rolled off, and still we say, well, it depends where it is. Amar Rav lo tema shenashru, instead of the word nashru, that it separated, it rolled off, el ema, revise it, fix it up, shenimtsu. We don't know for sure where it came from. You found some stones nearby. Did it break off the original? Was it just sitting there? Okay, so then we say if it's right nearby, then we assume it fell off the Avodah Zarah, otherwise not. Continues the Gemara. V'savar Rabbi Shmuel shtai mutaris. So according to this price, Rabbi Shmuel says that three is asa, two is mutar. Right? V'atani, we have another price. Rabbi Shmuel Eimer, shtayim betfisa loy asuris. That if you find two stones within the tfisa means it's grabbing. It's an expression, a term. The same exact spot. right? When one davens Shemoneh Esrei, so the four Amis around them are considered four Amis of Tefillah. Four Amis is sort of the smallest unit in terms of location. It's this spot, it's this area. So the Avodah Zarah sort of grabs the four Amis around it to be considered Avodah Zarah domain. Okay, so if you find two stones, but Tefisa, like within the Tefisa of Avodah Zarah, Rashi explains that Stam Tefisa, the word Tefisa means Dalad Amis. So if you find two stones lined up, but Tefisa, like within the four Amma radius around Avodah Zarah, Asuris, they are Asur. Even two stones. Whereas in the Mishnah we just said two stones are Mutar. Shalosh, if it's three, Afilu Muruchaka is Asuris. Even if it's further away, beyond four Amis, it's Asur. So the question is, how does this match up with the Mishnah, which says that according to Rabbi Shmuel, only three stones lined up are Asur, two are Mutar. And again, we're speaking within four Amis, because if it's right next to the Avodah Zarah within an Amma, all agree it's Asur. We assume it rolled off the Avodah Zarah, it's part of the Avodah Zarah. There's no question. The question is, beyond the Amma, up until four Amis, which is called Tefisa, which is the Avodah Zarah's sort of domain. So in the Mishnah we say, according to the Chachamim, all stones are Mutter. Nobody sets up a small Markulis near a big one, it's just random stones. According to Rishmoel, if it appears like a mini Markulis, such as three stones lined up side by side, it's us. Because we assume they did set up a small one to accompany the big one. But if it's just two stones, it doesn't have the right number, and it's Mutter. But in this Brisa, we see otherwise. The Rishmoel says even two stones within four Amis is us. Amma Ravaluk, Lekash. There's no contradiction. Kam betfisa achas, kam shtei tfisas. This Brisa that tells us that according to Rishmoel, even two stones are Asur, that's within four Amis, and there's nothing interrupting. There's nothing, no barrier between the Markulis and the stones that you found. Just smooth ground without any, humps and partitions. In this case, Rabbi Shmuel and even the Rabbanon will hold that it could very well have landed off the Markulis. It could have slid off. Okay? So, again, within four Amma radius, there's nothing, no humps in the ground, no blockages, no partitions, then any amount of stones are us, because we presume it fell off the big Markulis. Now, if it's beyond four Amis, according to the Chachamim, there's no chance it came from the Markulis. And Rishmoel agrees to that, but he adds, well, if it's three stones lined up, even if it's beyond four Amis, since it's, in the same area of the primary Markulis, we assume it was made as an auxiliary area. It was just an assistant. It was a secondary Markulis, and it's Asur as well. So that explains the Brisa, Kamishtei Tefisas, whereas the Mishnah speaking, that there was a it was sectioned off. So we have the Markulis, some flat ground, and then there was a bump, a little partition, and some flat land beyond it until the end of the four Amma radius. For example, the Ika Goiva Beni Beni, there's some little elevated ground between both sides of the four Amma area. So here, if you find the stone within the first section until the bump, rest assured it came from the Markulis, it slid off, it's Asur. Whether it's one stone, two stone, all agree it's Asur. Beyond that bump, unlikely the stone jumped over the bump. So here the Rabbanan say, stones are Mutter, because it did not come from the original Markulis. And here Rabbi Shmuel says, look, I understand it couldn't have come from the original one, but sometimes they set up a mini Markulis nearby, near the original one. So then it depends. If it's two stones, that's not common practice, so it's mutter. But if it's three, you can very well represent a new markulis, a mini markulis, and it's also. Okay, so again, bottom line, we have two different categories with respect to stones found near a makrulis. If it appears to have slid off the main one, so if there's nothing, you know, in the way, up until four ames, we assume it slid off the main one, it's asur. There's something in the way, so until that barrier, it's asur, because again, we assume it slid off. Beyond that, it couldn't have gotten there by itself. Rabbanan say it's mutter. Rishmol says, three, betzeh betzadzeh, is considered a mini markulis and is asur. So there's no barrier, there's no bump. So any stone up until four ames, which is in a reasonable distance, to assume that something rolled away from the main one, is asur. Beyond four ames, there's no chance that it rolled. Still, Rabbi Shmuel says, if it's close by, and it appears like a mini markulis, such as three, avonim zu betzadzu, it's asur. Asks the Gemara, why would I assume that three stones lined up are considered markulis if it's not configured in a manner that they would configure markulises, right? Umarkulis ka gavri mihavi. Right? If it's just sitting side by side, is that a markulis? Well, Tanya, we have a braisa describing the stone configuration of markulis. Elohen avni beis kulis. See, it's called kulis here, right? Achas mikan, one boulder on the right, achas mikan, a boulder on the left, achas agamen, one perched on top of them. Amarav gitanya hibika markulis. Yeah, that's describing the main, you know, design of markulis. But once you have it there, and you make another one nearby, then the second one doesn't have to, you know, conform to the markulis design perfectly. Be yanei malka charev. The palace of Yanai HaMelech was destroyed. Also, the Goyim came and they set up a Markulis in the property. Also, come along a new batch of Goyim. The Markulis, who didn't adhere to this Markulis of Avodah Zarah, it wasn't their thing. Oh, nice stones, we can use it for construction material. Shaklinu, they took the stones off the Markulis. Okay, so they took it apart. V'chipu ben drachim v'sar t'ois, v'sat r'tois, and they used it to pave the roads and the highways. Can we use those highways? So there was a difference of opinion. Ikar rabbanon de parshi. Some rabbanon kept away. V'ikar rabbanon de parshi. Other rabbanon did not stay away. They used the roads. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Benon shal kadoshim. There was a great man who was called the son of holy people. We'll see in a minute who he was. Malach Alein, he wouldn't hesitate to walk on those roads. So if it was good enough for him, it's good enough for us. Vana nefesh men, why should we keep away? Ma ninu benon shel kadoshim, who's this man described with this lofty title? His name was Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Simoi. Why was he called Vamai Korle? Why was he called benon shel kadoshim? Afilu b'tzrasa d'zuzah, loy mesnakel. He would avoid looking at any pictures, any idols, anything, even an image on a coin. He didn't want to have anything to do with idols and pictures and images of people and things. So here in this great title, Benon Shel Kadoshim, indicating that he has Kedusha, high level Kedusha, which presumably was drawn from his parents. In any case, if it was good enough for him to walk on the road, it's good enough for us. Why? Because even if it's of a desired material, which it was, but it was batal. We learned the other day, even one guy could be batal, the other guy's of a desired, right? So it's back to normal. My time demand the parish. How do you explain the other view, those who kept away from the roads? Because they held it was forbidden material. Sure, of a desired itself can be nullified, but not takroiv. It's interesting. A takroiv is something which is offered to of a desired. An animal offering, whatever, is considered takrevis, becomes asur bahano, permanently. You can't undo it. Savalok yadam Rav Gidlam Rav Chia Bar Yisim Rav, he holds like that shita, who says menayin takrevis avedes kacham she'ein lo b'teilu adams. How do we know that something offered by the zara can never be nullified? It stays asur forever. Shnema veitzam de la poer, describing offerings of Avodah Zarah v'yichlu zivchei meisim. The offering is zivchei meisim, a cold meisim. Avodah Zarah has no life, right? It's a dead entity. So zivchei meisim is the term used to describe offerings to Avodah Zarah, and we compare it to a meis, like a dead person. You can't have an offering from a dead person. Ma meis ein lo b'tel elohim, just like that, stays forever. You can't take away that status from the meis. Af takroi b'savitz kachum ein lo b'tel elohim. Likewise, Avodah Zarah offerings remain usher permanently. So these roads are off limits. Uman lo yiparish. Now the other shita, the one who was lenient, who did not keep off this road, Amar, because he held, he says, stones tossed at the Markulis are not considered takrovis. Why? Takrovis is only if it involves a type of material or the type of material and the form, the manner of service has to correspond, has to resemble what we do in the Beis HaMikdash, because it's like a flip side, Lahavdol, right? Rashi brings the pasuk, Zaveich lo lehim yachram. One brings an animal offering to Avodah Zarah, bad news, Bilti l'Hashem levade. Because this procedure, this type of service, this type of activity is unique, is exclusive to Hashem. You're not meant to divert to Avodah Zarah. So basically, it's a flip side. It's a diversion. You take what's meant to be there and you bring it here. In order for it to be considered takrovis, Avodah Zarah, with all its consequences, with all its isurim, it must entail a procedure which is typically done in the Beis HaMikdash. But you know, we require ke'en pnim, that it resembles service in the Beis HaMikdash. But Lekka, you don't have that by the Markulis, which is just toss stones. Rashi says stones are not something which are served in the Beis HaMikdash. And as Tosfos adds, in the Beis HaMikdash, we do things that break apart. We do shechita, we break the animal, we sprinkle the blood that splatters. A stone stays intact, doesn't come apart. It's not an act of takrovis, and therefore does not become asur as takrovis. At most, it gets incorporated, it gets absorbed into the Markulis arrangement. It's considered actual Avodah Zarah material, not takrovis, Avodah Zarah material itself. Because now the Markulis sort of expands, gets bigger and bigger. So yeah, the stones are Avodah Zarah, but Avodah Zarah allows for bittul. That's exactly what happened when they paved the roads with those stones. Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Abba. He told us like this, Ikla, we had a guest who came, Rabba bar Yirmiya came la'asr into our town, but also he came to Beis Medrash with some good news. With a new halacha, va'aisi masnis b'yadi bura b'raisa as follows. Oyvid kecham shevi avonim in Markulis. A guy delivered some stones from the Markulis and employed them as construction material, paved the roads with them. V'chiba ben drachem v'tartiyos mutarois. You can walk on the roads. But a Yisrael shevi avonim in Markulis, but a Jew brings those stones and paved with them. V'chiba ben drachem v'tartiyos, as soon as you can use them. So that was the b'raisa. And he added, v'leis, it's a stumper, it's a riddle. V'leis nagar. There's no chacham, there's no wise man. V'leis bar nagar, nor son of a wise man, who can perhaps draw from his father's wisdom. Nobody can answer this, nobody can explain, can reconcile this halacha. Difrakina. We're going to see in a minute what the problem was, what was so difficult to understand. I'm Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes responds. He says, you know what? I'm not a wise man, nor can I draw from my father's wisdom. I loy nagarna, I'm not a chacham, v'loy bar nagarna, nor the son of a chacham. Let me explain to the halacha. It's pretty clear. Makushle, what's the problem? Do Rav Gidl? How can we use the guy who paved the roads, we're going to use the roads? How? Rav Gidl tells us that takrovis avodah zarah is usher forever. I'll tell you why. V'ino kein pnim v'leka. It's only considered takrovis if it resembles internal service, which doesn't apply by the tossed stones. So you can rest assured you can use these roads, no problem. Why? Because they underwent bittul when the guy diverted them and used them as construction material. But by the way, if a yid does it, it doesn't work, because a yid doesn't have bittul, like we discussed the other day. Amar Rav Yosef bar Abba. So once again, he tells us about the great visit, Iklam, who came to visit, Rabba bar Yimri, La'asrin, came to Avatan, but also came to Beis Medrash, and he presented a b'raisa as follows. Maslin, Mezamen b'shviyis. Although on Shemitah, you're not meant to do land work, you're not meant to do farming. If you have a tree which got inundated with worms, maslein, you can remove the worms, because again, he's just trying to maintain, not trying to enhance the tree, trying to protect it from dying. Umezamen, Rashi says, mezamen means, let's say, the tree gets somewhat exposed, the bark peeled off, you can paste it back, you can fill the exposed area using zevel, some fertilizer, again, to protect the tree from the elements. But Shviyas, even though it's Shemitah, you can do that. But you can't do it on Chol HaMoed. Vein mezam, maslein umezamen b'moed, amoed, you can't do that. Because on Chol HaMoed, you're not meant to do any heavy work. Further, kan mekan, whether it's Shviyas or Chol HaMoed, ein megazmen, you're not allowed to prune the tree to facilitate more growth. V'soch and shem legosam, but let's say it had already been trimmed, and now it's an open gash, you can smear it with oil to keep it moist, to protect it from drying up and dying. Whether it's Chol HaMoed, ben b'moed, ben mishviyas. End quote. And this price is so baffling. V'leis nagar, v'leis bar nagar, v'frikini, nobody can explain it. Amar Ravina, I'll try. Look, I don't have credentials. Ano aloi nagar, ano, v'leis bar nagar, I don't have any wisdom. I know, let me explain to you. My kakashli, what was the problem with the brisa? Ile mamoyed ashviz kakashli. Was it the seeming inconsistency between the way we treat land work on Chol HaMoed, where we don't even allow you to excise the worms or paste the gash? Ashviz, as opposed to Shemitah, where it's allowed? That was the question. Why the difference between Chol HaMoed and Shemitah? Well, I'll tell you, it's very simple. My Shno Shviyas the Shori, right? This is part of the question. Why would you allow it on Shemitah? My Shno Moed the Asar, why would you not allow it on Chol HaMoed? Me dummy, how could you compare? Shviyas on the seventh year of Malacha Asar Rachmana. The Torah forbids doing land work to facilitate further growth, enhance the produce. But Tircha Shori, but you can work. You don't have to exert yourself in any other way. And here it's merely tircha. It's not considered avodas hakarka. It's not malachas hakarka. You're just protecting it from further damage. You're maintaining it. As opposed to moyed, you're meant to sit back from doing any heavy work. Afilu tircha nami asr. That explains why you can't engage in this activity in Chol HaMoed. That's not a problem. So what then is the issue? Velo zim azim kokashile. He had a question regarding zim. Velo zim agizim kokashile. We seem to find an inconsistency between Allah of Zihum, which again means pasting the exposed bark, as opposed to Gizim, which means trimming to facilitate further growth. That was the question. Ma'ish no Zihum d'shari. So on Shemitah we allow Zihum to protect, to maintain the tree. But Ma'ish no Gizim d'asar, but we can't go and clip. What's the difference? He says, I'll tell you the difference. Me dummy, how could you compare the two? Zihum, pasting the gash, Ukumi ilana. He's just maintaining the tree, protecting it from damage. Sure, that's allowed, as opposed to gizam, pruning it. Avrui ilana va'asr. That's enhancing the tree. That's us. That's not a problem. That's fully understood. So what then is the issue? Velo rather, zium azim kokashuli. We have an apparent contradiction within zium itself. Here it says diktoni maslinu mazam b'shviz. You can do these activities on Shemitah. Ramini, we have a kasha from Ramishna and Shviyas. Ramini, mezamen is on Netiyos. You're allowed to paste up the Netiyos, young trees, v'korach anoisen, wrap them, v'korach anoisen, and clip the tips, voisenlan, bottom, construct these little structures around them, these protective partitions. Umash anoisen, you could water them, not on Shemitah, only on Rosh Hashanah, until Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. So many activities you can't even do within 30 days of Shemitah, but these are vital activities. It's a young tree, it's volatile, you have to give it its TLC until Rosh Hashanah, but only until Ad Rosh Hashanah, until Rosh Hashanah. Can you do these things, including Mezahamin? But actually on Shemitah itself, you can't do Mezahamin. You can't cover that exposed bark. Whereas in the earlier brisa, we learned that even on Shemitah, mizamen is allowed. Says the Gemara, perhaps there are two variations of this procedure. One is merely a maintenance act, one is more than that. Vidilma, perhaps you can answer. Could Rav Ruka Bachama, as he explained to us regarding digging beneath the olive trees, the Amar Rav Ruka Bachama, Trei Kashkushe, Kashkushe is digging underneath olive trees. Trei Kashkushe, have there are two different variations of this procedure. One is merely just for plain maintenance, and one is to actually enhance growth. Chad L'Ruy Ilana, one is more of a substantial process, which livens up the tree, enhances its growth. For us, that cannot be done on Shemitah. One is merely to cover up, exposed roots, and that's allowed. So just as there are two variations of this type of malacha, hachinam, the same can be said about the zihum, the covering of the exposed bark. Perhaps there are two variations of this type of thing. Chad, one is merely lu'ukume ilani v'shari. It's a minor procedure just to maintain the trees or keep it from dying. And that's allowed on Shemitah. Chad lavri ilani v'asar. It is more of an extensive type of procedure which actually enhances further growth, enhances the development. That would be asar. That's a simple answer to your question. Velo rather, what was the puzzling element of this price? Sicha asicha kakashli, regarding sicha, smearing some oil on the tree. Because here we say, diktoni sochen shemen lagosim. You can smear oil to moisten the gash, bein b'moy, b'mishviz, whether it's chalamoy or shmita. But we have a kash, or mishnan, shviz, which indicates otherwise. You can't do that type of thing on shmita. Sochen asapag, and we have these unripe figs, you can, figs, you can smear them with oil to keep them fresh and vibrant, and facilitates the further growth. Or manakven, you can even puncture them, fatman oisin, and fill them with oil to give them that extra body. But only until Shemitah, ad Rosh Hashanah, until Rosh Hashanah, ad Rosh Hashanah, in only until Rosh Hashanah, b'shviz, ashviz itself, law, you can't apply oil. And here we're allowing you to apply oil on the tree. Says the Gemara, once again, you can differentiate between maintenance and enhancements. Midami, how could you compare? Hach ukume ilana b'shar. Here we're just trying to maintain the tree, moisturize an open gash to prevent it from drying up and dying. Hasam patumi pair of us. Over there, you're trying to enhance. Plump up the fruits, and therefore for us, you're not allowed to do it on Shemitah. So far so good. What was the what's the stumper in the brisa? Homily Rav Sama with Rav Ashi L'Ravina. So he tells Ravina, you know what? I figured out the problem. Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah, who presented it as a difficult to understand brisa, it was as follows: Sicha de Moyed, because there was an apparent mismatch between the act of Sicha, applying the oil on Chol HaMoed, versus Azim de Moyed, versus not allowing pasting up the gash due to the exposed bark on Chol HaMoed. So Sicha was allowed on Chol HaMoed and not Zium. Sicha demoid, Azium demoid. That was the problem. Kukash, that was his kash. Look, how could he differentiate? Why that difference? Michti, look. Hai ukumi, vai ukumi. This procedure is merely to maintain the tree, to keep it moist, and so is this one. Maishna, why do we find a difference? Hai deshari, this is allowed. Sicha is allowed. U'mayishna hayda asur, whereas Zium, pasting the zevel over there to clog it up, to protect it. Hayda asur, that's not allowed. How do you explain that? Oh, that was the baffling part of the brisa. Hainu. Deka amar lei, that explains when he said, leis nagar v'lei bar nagar defrikine, I can't find anybody to resolve this brisa. Okay, so in a quick summary, we have the primary Marculus, which was typically situated as 1-1 and 1 on top, stones that are close enough nearby, which lend to the assumption that they dropped off the main Marculus, are considered Avodah Zarah. Not Takrevis Avodah Zarah, but Avodah Zarah itself, because they become part and parcel of the Marculus. And even if they broke off, it's not an issue of broken and shivery, because, as we explained, that's the way it works. The Marculus is initially comprised from parts and pieces. So you expect it to drop off, and it's still considered, it still retains its status. What about it's further away, beyond the bump, or in a case where there's no bump beyond four amis? Rabbanan say you're okay. Rabbi Shmuel says, well, if you find a shalish avonim zebet tzadzeh, lends the reason that it's a mini markulis arrangement, in which case it's usher as well. We had a machlekes whether you can do bittel on these stones. According to one sheet that you could, because not called takrev is avodah zara. So there was some suggestion that it is, because it's really used to offer. It's an offering to the markulis, but the Gemara brought an opposing opinion, and in fact, Rav Sheshes concluded the same way that since it's not kein pnim, it's not a type of offering which resembles the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. It's not called takrevis. It's merely avodah zara per se, which allows for a bittul. And we had a discussion regarding various malachis on Shvius and Cholamayid. The main, point being that malachas karka, farming, is really also, but just some sort of minor form of malacha to maintain, to keep it from dying, from getting damaged, would be mutter. However, Cholamayid, even tercha would be allowed. Sorry, acts of maintenance would sometimes be banned because it would involve tircha, and a moed is meant for rest and enjoyment. All the best to you, and atzlacha rabba.